You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. I'm here with my beautiful guest, Abhinav Bwama Achampam.
Perfect. That was okay. Perfect.
It's a beautiful name. Is this a Ghanaian name?
Yes, it's a Ghanaian name. Yeah.
Beautiful name. And I feel like my inner soul is still on glow from yesterday.
I feel the same way.
Yesterday's event that you curated was incredible. Beauty
Thank
and chill.
You.
The title is perfect.
Yes. Oh my God. No, literally, that was the first one. So we've done like a yoga and chill.
Okay.
And we did the first yoga and chill in Ghana. Oh, and amazing. Then like in LA just this last week. And the beauty and chill one though, like, I was actually really nervous to put it on.
Really?
Yeah.
You did not seem nervous at all.
I was like, I remember I called, actually called Lauren.
Okay.
Lauren Ash of Black Girl. And I'm like, when I was like buying drinks for it, because I was just like, I don't know, the using beauty, like going, like being really like saying intentional about being in the beauty industry has been something that I'm like, okay, you're really stepping into this. And also, because I'm just learning as I go, you know?
So
it's been a bit intimidating. Like we were kind of talking about, you know, like if you're not someone that wears makeup, if you're not like,
right.
For me, I'm just like, for beauty is like creating and skincare and like in that sense. So, but it was amazing.
It was incredible.
Like, New York shows so much love too.
I know that your mission is to disrupt the global beauty practice, which is just music to my ears because I feel like, you know, I'm not doing this under a beauty label, like because it's independent. I can say what I want. And I'm very vocal about the fact that there's a lot of, just like the commercialization of beauty has led to so many misinterpretations about beauty and who it's for. And talk to me a little bit about Hana Hana Beauty, your amazing shea butter line, and kind of like how you started it.
Yeah. So like you said, Hana Hana Beauty, like our whole mission is about disrupting the beauty industry from all ends. So like through sustainability, transparency, and accessibility, that's like all the abilities that we're trying to really focus on, I guess. But that's from the woman we work with that actually produced the Rache. And currently we work with the Kataga Women's Group in Ghana. They're based in Tamale. So that sense of like disrupting the beauty industry, we use that not only like you know, buying fair trade, but also showcasing their stories. Mm. That's why we have like the activation, the process, which is a full photo activation, a learning activation about the women and their process of creating Shea Butter, the process of how I got connected to Shea Butter. And then also with the women that are buying our products. And obviously we have more than just women of color buying our products.
Of course. But Shea Butter is for everyone.
It's for everyone. And that's what I always tell people. Shea Butter is for everyone. Everyone should buy my, yes, like all the products.
Yes.
But we want people to know, we want Black women to know that like when these products are being made, you are in mind. Mm. And I think that's something in the beauty industry and in any industry, to be honest, that we're never truly in mind or even said that we are in mind, even if something is made for us. Yeah. Like it's like,
well, Shea Moisture had that huge,
you know, a little debacle. Exactly. Yes. And that was something that like really shook me. Like, to be honest, as someone that was like going into the beauty, I like was really like, I remember having some conversations about how strongly I felt. And I started reading a little bit more and I learning about what different impacts are also doing too. And like, it's difficult, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like you, for me growing a business, I see all different parts of it, right?
Yeah.
Like if someone's posting something on our social, like I know it's gonna be that. And I know as your businesses grow, maybe you step a little bit away of knowing every little detail.
Right, right.
But for me, it's like Hana is so personal.
Of course.
That I can't separate it from me. Like anything
that
is a representation. Do I have, I don't know, maybe.
Okay. I mean, I think that's exciting if you do. No, it's, I mean, it means you've reached a certain level. I can't wait to have naked beauty podcast haters.
I think there's definitely maybe personal.
Okay.
I think with Hana,
you're so likable.
I would hope, like, you never know. I think sometimes with social media, with how things happen, people feel like if you're not giving them the attention they feel they deserve, or like don't understand that like being an entrepreneur, you are doing so much stuff.
Oh, do you like your thousands of followers expect you to respond to all of them?
I mean, something like
they
that.
They have like a question like, about like their...
Maybe that, or even just like personal friendships too.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Not even friendships, like relationships mm-hmm, or acquaintanceships. Mm-hmm. Like people, I think as we grow into... When you start to grow truly into your purpose, and think some people like fall off. Which is okay. And I think sometimes people get stuck with relationships that were in the past.
Totally.
You know?
Okay. First of all, your point about like it's for everyone. Have you seen, it's a very old viral video. It's like this white woman who's like, no one ever told me about the butters.
No, what?
Oh my God. Okay. I'll have to. I'll send
you
it to you. I'll also like insert it into this episode because it is literally the funniest clip ever.
Black people, I am so mad at you right now. And let me tell you why. You have been hiding the butters from us, okay? You don't outright hide the butters, but you just don't communicate how wonderful the butters are. And when I say the butters, I mean the cocoa butters, the shea butters, stuff like that. Once you have tried the cocoa butter, lotion is not the business, okay? Lotion is more like flavored water putting on your skin. The butters is where it's at.
I've seen this.
We've been using the lotions like we didn't know.
And I'm just like, girl, why do we have to tell you everything?
But also good, like learning, sharing.
Yes.
Because when you use a commercial lotion at this point, mm-hmm. it's a joke.
I mean, of course. I don't know the last time I bought lotion.
Yeah.
It was like 4 or 5 years ago, to be honest.
Or like in a hotel, you'll be traveling.
And you're
it's
just like
water. It like sits on top of your skin.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like I think we were talking, it's like ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like shea, but like actually taking care of yourself is not just about like just application. When you enjoy it, it becomes a ritual. It's like more than, it's like the touch, it's the feel, it's like the emotions you're in. So mm-hmm. like, for me, I've always enjoyed like lathering on something.
Totally.
And even growing up, we used shea.
Of course.
Know what I mean? And that was like the hard shea. So it's like a process of like the warming up and everything,
yeah.
which I hated, to be honest.
Really?
I hate that.
I just put mine in like a double boiler.
Really?
And melt it down.
Oh, to just like the raw shea to use it that way?
Yeah. And then I whip.
And then, yep.
But yeah. I don't use an electric hand mixer. I use a fork.
What? I also saw that and I was like, you need to use an electric hand mixer. Just because of the amount we're making, we have like KitchenAids.
Yeah.
But like it, oh my gosh, my hand. Like I was like, what we were talking, like going through and making those batches and going through the process of making multiple batches and then seeing the women make their raw batches with their actual hand whipping it, it just gives me so much appreciation of like the whole process of even just like lathering to creating, like, you know, that whole thing.
It's a truly like artisanal product from the earth.
Yeah. And it's tradition. Like, and that's the thing that I think people don't understand. Like, and that's why I always try when people are like, well, why didn't you tell me about this? Like, this is tradition. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just like a $3.5 billion, you know, market, which it is. It's literally a tradition. Like, this is something that was passed down. And like, these women are creating and making this and teaching them to their children. But now it's become something of obviously how to make money, right? But it's like, when does it come a point where your tradition then is making people's billions, but you're still not able to have accessibility to a level of comfort that you like deserve? You know?
Totally. And so your family's from Ghana.
Yeah, my family's from Ghana. You were born D.C.
In D.C.
Yes.
But now you live in Chicago.
And I live in
Chicago. You used to live in New York.
I used to live in New York for like, it was like, so I used to live in different places during the summer as I would teach.
Okay,
so I was
a teacher. You were a teacher.
Yeah. So I would like, so one summer I did like Germany. One summer I did New York and then Ghana.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So growing up, like how aware of your roots were you?
Very. So my brother and I both, what my parents did was when we were 6 months, moved us back to Ghana.
Okay.
So we lived with our grandparents. Our first language was Twi.
And what's the language?
Twi. So T-W-I.
Twi?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we lived there till it would be, for me, I think I was still like 3, maybe. Okay. Still very young, but time to start school, come back to the States.
Okay.
And so all my schooling was like in Ohio. I know, super
what
random.
What was Ohio like?
White, suburban. Actually, to be honest, this is when like my parents were extremely intentional about us growing up in a Ghanaian household. Like,
that's
we went
amazing.
To a Ghanaian church. Mm. I like the Ghanaian, every summer I still go back home for the Ghana picnic. Like,
that's great.
Very much involved. My dad is like, very much like a very, like, he's like a project manager, to be honest. Like, he just, all these things that happen in Columbus, Ohio, that is connected to Ghana, my dad is somehow involved.
Because,
like,
amazing.
Columbus is a sister city to Accra.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, the capital. So, like, there's just, ever since being a child, like, I've been so involved in different projects or different events that would happen mm-hmm. with the Ghanaian community through my dad. And it's really taught me too of being able to take ownership, looking back and reflecting, of creating what you want, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't even know, my brother talks about it. I was listening to a podcast actually that my brother was on because he does music, and he was talking about how like, he doesn't think my dad knows how much he instilled with us to just create and do our own.
Yes. Well, have you told your dad?
I think he gets it. He does, but I think
you gotta let him know,
right? Because my parents are, being first generation, your parents, like my parents came, they went
they
on their
sacrificed
journey.
And, yeah, so much, right?
Yeah, you know, and he like, my dad went to school here. My mom like lived in London before, like they went on their journeys to reach their purpose. So I think sometimes when they look at my brother and I, they're like, okay, we set you up with all these opportunities. Like, you did basketball, you did this, you did that.
Yeah,
you were, you had
yeah.
all these camps.
Right, right.
Why are you making this so hard?
And why are you going and being an entrepreneur?
Yeah,
and
like just go and just like make it
make
easy.
Money.
You know,
yeah.
make it easy for yourself. And for me, it's like this. I mean, I went to grad school. I taught, like, I've done.
Yeah. And you were at grad school while you were launching this whole company.
Yeah. I just finished grad school.
Oh my God. Girl.
I'm like, it's like, I feel like everything has like cut loose, like allowed me now to be like, go, spend your rings.
Right. And the thing is, when you have this like creative impulse, this idea that's driving you,
yeah,
it may seem like the hard thing to do, but it's actually the harder thing to do to ignore it, because it's like this
voice that won't stop, right?
So it just keeps coming back to you, and it's like impossible to ignore.
Honestly, like, I mean, just recently, so I'm planning on moving to Ghana at the end of September.
Oh, so jealous.
Yeah. So like moving, being there for 6 months, working on creating a direct trade curriculum for Shea farmers and Shea women in the Shea cooperatives that are able to then like go through this training and sell on platforms where they can get actually direct trade, coffee. So that's the plan.
Okay. You were definitely disrupting, right? You're like developing
very
whole
trying
new,
to, yes,
like,
very
economies.
Much trying to, yeah.
Okay.
And so many different layers of it. And that's why I like say that it's like, when we say the mission of disruption, it's like very much intentional of not just like having representation of Black women, right?
Of course.
Which is great. Like, that is another way, right? But, like, when we truly say uplifting women of color, it's like in all the ways that we truly can. Yeah.
Oh, to be blessed with this much beauty, intelligence, and drive. It's really, I mean, it's really phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's really phenomenal. I'm curious about your experience as a teacher.
Yes.
Because a lot of, I feel like I was very lucky to have good teachers in my life, but you probably see a lot of teasing, bullying, and think about how much of like early childhood shapes your perception of yourself and what you think is beautiful.
Oh my God.
People have lifelong insecurities from like a joke made to them at 7 years old.
Girl.
Right. Yes. So, okay, what ages were you teaching? And like, did you see this stuff?
Oh yeah. So I was teaching from seventh grade, which is like prime age of like riffing competition. And I'm teaching West Side Chicago and also
they call it roasting there, right?
Roasting, riffing.
Yeah.
Going like all that.
It's like an art form.
It's art. It literally
is very cool.
Even like my brother, like he was like a riff master. Like,
oh my God. Amazing.
Like, it was like, that was like the thing, you know what I mean? But if that's not, it's only okay when you're with friends and you're doing it, and like the understanding,
Of course,
right?
Of course.
And so I taught seventh grade through high school.
Oh God.
And I taught algebra, and I also taught like a hip hop and social justice class.
Oh my
so
God. You're like the coolest teacher ever. Like math and hip hop and social justice.
It was so fun.
Did all the like kids in your class have a crush on you?
The little boys.
I'm
it
sure.
was like, oh, I remember my first year
that
teaching.
Would kind of gross
me out. Oh my God, literally.
And it was stop like, looking at my boobs.
Oh my, and it's also, I'm like a person that, like, I hate bras. So it was like one of those things where it's like Chicago winter and you're like, okay, either you're like standing like this, like literally your hands are either crossed at all times or you're gonna have to wear like a padded bra, which then ups your boobs. Like, you're like, okay, when's the loop? Like,
yeah, totally.
But I love teaching. Like, to be honest, I could teach for the rest of my life. Really? Like, I love working with kids. For me, it was more so the institutional, like being in the system of the education system that was more so really, it was like a welfare.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And it was never the students, like to be
it's
honest.
The parents, of course, right? In the environment.
It was more of like
systematic.
The systematic.
Yeah.
Being like, you know, you can be a really good teacher and you can even still have a support of good admin and it will still be very difficult, especially if you're a person of color teaching people of color in a space that's just white, like a white space.
Yes. And I can imagine how that affects your mental well-being.
Of course.
On top of all of this, I know you're also a Pisces.
Yes.
The most emotional sign. It's a fabulous sign. I feel like Rihanna's a Pisces.
But is she really?
She is.
Oh my God, she is actually.
She's a Pisces, yeah. But it's an emotional sign. But you don't show your emotion, right? That's like one of the defining things. Like you're emotional, but you don't wear it on your sleeve.
I feel like I use, like, because sometimes like when I would read Pisces and how emotional Pisces, I'm like, that is not me.
No,
like,
but you cover it up. Think about Rihanna. She's like, I'm a bad bitch.
Yes.
But deep down, she's.
And I showed it through work. Like I was, oh my gosh, I showed it through work. Like my, and that's, I mean, I went to my master's in counseling psych.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like when you talk about taking in emotion, energy and everything, I feel like I can definitely take that in and like figure it out that this is not my energy and also realize where it's coming from, but I will still take it on. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Which can be.
I need to talk to you about therapy. Yeah. I have questions.
Yes.
Okay, Leah, let's just get into
let's
it now.
Get to it.
So one of the things I have observed from doing this podcast, I talk to women about their self-care routine.
Yeah.
They all go to the gym.
Yes.
They all get their hair done.
Yeah.
They all do face masks. I'd want to say maybe, let's say 95% of the women I've talked to in the past 2 years, they all go to therapy. And me over here who thinks, I think I've got my self-care stuff down. I'm going to acupuncture. I do Pilates. I don't see a therapist. And now I'm really coming to terms with the fact that maybe I should. And I've always felt like, oh, you have to have something going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when people talk to me about it, they're like, it's like going to the gym. Like, even if you're great, why wouldn't you want to be better?
Yeah.
Like,
it's honestly, even for me, it's a problem. I go to therapy recently, just like took a little break on therapy just because I know I always do this thing where I'm like, okay, I feel like when I go to Ghana, I don't know if I'll have a therapist. So let me like try to prep myself without having a therapist, which is so stupid, honestly.
Wait, like, so am I doing a disservice to myself by not being in therapy?
I think if you are able to, if one, to go to, you have to be open when you're in therapy. There's no reason to go to therapy if you don't feel like you're actually going to be open to the person, right?
Right.
So it's like, I think going into therapy, you have to be able to be honest with yourself. And okay. being honest with yourself is one of the hardest things, right? Because then you really start to unravel a lot of things that maybe you're doing wrong too, or like okay. how you can change.
What's an example? Like, if nothing traumatic is happening in your
you
life,
you can still go.
So like, what would be an example of something?
Like if you, like you right now, you have your Naked Beauty podcast. You are trying to like, just, you're a Black woman in this space, in this world.
That's enough.
You should yeah. have someone that you can talk to.
My husband doesn't cut it.
And your husband can still be that person.
yeah.
But someone that is literally there that has no, they have no reason to have biases towards you. And even though your therapist's real, but they might have certain biases. But when you step, when I step into the therapist role, my role is not to give you advice. My role is to be there and listen and soundboard and help you navigate what you want to navigate to and give you different like looks at maybe your perspective. And I feel like everyone should be deserving to have someone that they can sit and talk to and just talk about their problems, right? Yeah. Like imagine if every single child had one person they could just talk to about anything.
Yeah.
You know, and they're yeah, not there to get them in trouble.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
have that agreement that says they won't tell nobody unless right, you're trying right. to kill somebody.
right.
You know, so I think, you know, if you're at a place where you're like, I wanna try it out, why not? And the thing is, sometimes therapy can also be like, it's a lot. Because you might be unpacking certain things that you didn't even know were there. And you're like, oh, didn't realize this was all inside of me. You're like, oh, shoot, this is probably why. Like, you just start connecting and really taking a deep dive into yourself.
Interesting.
Right?
Is it weird that this is a very irrational fear, but I feel like my therapist will be, like, bored.
No.
So I feel like people probably come in with all of this interesting stuff, and I feel like I'll be like, I feel like I should be cooking dinner at home more, and I feel guilty about it.
No.
And they'll be like, this is really, you're wasting my time with this.
No. I mean, if that is what you are, like, and you will find your therapist that whoever your therapist should not be bored. And even if they are, you shouldn't know that they're bored.
Okay. So you hid your boredom at times.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. What about when people came to you with the same problem over and over again? Weren't you just sometimes like, girl, like, just... You've been talking about this week after week, just get it together, but you can't do that? Or can
I
you?
Will let them, I definitely acknowledge that this has been, let them show, like, this is okay. a pattern, okay. right?
You're like, this is a trend.
This is definitely a trend. Let's okay. talk about why it's a trend. Mm. What are maybe some of the things that are going on that it continues to be a trend? And if it's a trend, then like, what do you feel like we need to do? So then you can continue to talk about it, right? Like I can talk about the same boy that I come in every time. But if it's the same exact problem, right. there's not even a new issue right, or like it's the right. like same involvement of that problem, then let's like notice that it's the same involvement of a problem
right.
too, right?
Right.
But I mean, for me, therapy, I started therapy in college.
Okay.
Because I have anxiety, like I would have a lot of panic attacks in college.
How did the panic attacks manifest themselves?
So for me, a lot of my panic attacks manifested via irrational thought process on future events.
Okay.
And separation of like communication and things like that. So like,
okay, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, so like it could be, let's say I always like give people, so when I was in therapy, I remember one time my therapist canceled an appointment.
Yeah.
And he literally told me why he canceled it.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, oh my God, is it because of it? Like, I just like started
worst case scenario immediately.
Yeah. And it was like, whoa, girl, why? And like going to therapy allowed me to realize that my thought process was going from 0 to 100
right.
real quick. And it wasn't like a negative thing. Yeah. Like I remember my first panic attack I've ever had, like when I did reflection, like as a child was basically future thinking about how I wanted to go to college. Like,
oh my God.
Literally as a fourth, like, yes. And like, I remember going to my mom and like crying and she was like, what is going on? Like I was reading like this encyclopedia and getting so excited about becoming a doctor. Like literally was like, okay, you have to do this and this. And then I was like,
and like
my mom
like
praying for me, like, you know, just like calming me down. But like that's different ways your anxieties can manifest in different ways. And I feel like for me, therapy allowed me to realize how my anxieties were manifesting. Mm-hmm. And then also realizing that I have the authority and I'm worthy of not being in this space at right. all times. Because I think sometimes when you move, you're like, when you're an anxious person or you're depressed, you're like, this is how it is. This is always going right. to be how it is. And right. now I just have to work in this like bubble of anxiety or sadness instead of like, this is how it is
breaking
right now.
Yeah.
And I can get to this place here where I've been to this place before. How can I find different tools to move out of it? You know?
So are there practical tips and tools if you do feel like a panic attack or if anyone listening is feeling like, yeah, like do you focus on your breathing?
Self-talk is like one of the biggest things.
Okay.
Like self-talk is so important.
So positive affirmations?
Not even positive affirmations.
Just talking to
yourself. But being able to notice what you're saying to yourself. Like realizing the conversations that you're having with yourself. Yeah. And so I was in Ghana this past December and I was in this space, like I was with people that I like really enjoyed being with. Like, and I was like hanging out with this guy and just like everything was good. And I was like in that space and I was like, whoa, like, I actually don't feel good right now. Like I like, even though everything is going around me, like, I am in my head. Like I am just like I could tell like I was in my head. Yeah. I was just, you know, like I was aware. So the first thing I think is being aware.
Okay.
Right. And being like, okay, I am
stepping
at this point.
Out of yourself and seeing your emotions
and being
feelings.
Aware. Yeah. And sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah.
And then also being able to remind yourself that this is not a forever feeling because I think that's like the one thing is like, I was talking to a friend about feeling depressed or feeling very sad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, have you not been sad before? I'm like, yes. Right?
Right. Yes.
And like,
yes.
Okay. So this right now is a period or a point or a moment.
Right.
You don't know how long, but this is just a part of a time, right? We've had multiple years before this. So being able to realize that. And then also being able to think about what are the things that actually make you happy, right? Because when you're anxious or you're feeling different depressive symptoms, like you are not focusing on what makes you happy. Yeah. You're focusing on all the things that are making you anxious.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So like being able to first start like, okay, what are the things that will make me happy? And being able to realize you also have a choice, right?
Yes. Yes.
So like, you know, there's certain things that I'm like, okay, if I'm making a decision about even sometimes I get extremely, just being around a lot of people can be a lot for me, even though I'm like, very bubbly and like all that, like it is a lot.
Yeah.
So like I'll be like, okay, I know this situation is a situation that will usually make me anxious. Let me be aware of that.
Yeah.
Do I need to go through this? It's like either yes or no.
Right.
Right. Like it's really like very simple. It's like, yes, you do, because this is part of your job and you have to get through this and this is what you do.
Yep.
Okay. So if you do, then what are the different steps that you need to take so that you are able to perform or be able to do what you have to do?
Yes.
Some of those steps might be that you're going to go into this event, do it, pop out and go in your ritual. Sometimes it means maybe you got to smoke a little joint. I don't know what you got to do.
Yes. Okay.
Figure it out.
Exactly. Like, I was going to say, let's talk about dance and marijuana.
Yeah,
two of your things. Things
that I enjoy to do.
One, I need to talk to you about your dancing videos because, first of all, like maybe this is like creepy to admit, like the video you posted recently of you dancing with your plants in the background, you're wearing this like red little tube top, and you just look so gorgeous, so happy.
Oh,
I watched it like 10 times on a loop, and I know thousands of people have watched it, so clearly I'm not alone in like being obsessed with this video of you, but like it was a portrait of a woman so in touch with herself, so happy, so like the joy you're feeling as you're just moving and expressing your body in space. It's like, you can feel it.
Thank you.
I
honestly felt that way.
Yeah.
And
it's
that
amazing.
Song was named Abna. So I was like really in my space.
Yes. That's beautiful. So you dance a lot.
Yeah.
At home.
I found, and those were some of the things like being able to say, what are the things that I really enjoy to do? Mm-hmm. I love movement.
Same. I'm not a good dancer like you.
Like,
but.
Girl, you can become a good dancer. Like the more, honestly, I used to do 30 minutes every morning of just dancing in front of my mirror.
Ooh.
Because I was like this, like it was like a shakeout.
Yes.
And this is some, that. Like, you know, especially during when I was teaching, like there, I didn't realize how much stress and anxiety I was carrying when I would come, like, you know, you can take your baths, you can do whatever, but it's like, it was still there.
You had to like let it out.
Yeah. And it was literally like, I felt like, you know, in the morning, why I like to work out in the morning. Cause I was talking to a friend, I don't really dream like at night. Like as a kid, I like prayed not to dream cause I would be like really bad nightmares. I was like, God, please don't give me any more dreams. Yeah. And I feel like he was like, I got you, G. Like, you're never going to dream unless
you'll never dream again.
It.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I wake up sometimes, I still have so much not pent up, but it's like either you're restless or you just have still energy that maybe you need to shake off to be able to take in another know, yep. sense of energy. Yep. So I love to dance and I just love to move and listen to music and let my body, like, it's just I think while I'm dancing and like it's an exercise. And I started doing that because I was like, it's too cold in Chicago to go running.
Right.
I don't really want to do my Nike workouts right now. Yeah. But I know that if I like do a little twist and wind for 30 minutes, I'm gonna still get that little ab workout.
Yes, exactly. That's amazing.
You know, so.
And I feel like in terms of smoking, like you opened my eyes. This past event, when I learned that you could add like lavender mm-hmm. and like dried rose, marijuana.
Yeah.
I never knew that was possible.
Yeah. I learned that from, oh my goodness, I learned, the first time I learned about lavender, I was at this meeting and I was like, oh my God, who was it? One of my friends is like, we went outside and she's like, oh, I got some lavender. And I was like, what? Lavender? Like, I don't even know.
And you sprinkle it like on top of the joint? Start me off from the very beginning.
So one, you don't have to use marijuana. Right. If you just want to use herbs and smoke herbs or make teas, you can do that.
Okay.
So let's say though, cannabis wise, you want to roll a joint or whatever.
Nice indica strain.
Yeah. Okay. Indica, whatever, sativa. You can add any herbs with it.
Okay.
So like lavender calming, just amazing. Like lavender
it's
calming.
The same way essential oils.
Same way essential oils. And that's the thing. It's like these same properties. And that's why I always try to tell people about like making and creating.
Yes.
Like when you use the avocado oil in your hair that has protein to help growth, it's still going to do the same protein.
Right.
It's going to do something for your skin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. And it's still going to have those properties and going to be able to carry that on in that way. So it's just like with lavender or like my new favorite is rosemary because rosemary is literally its own natural sativa.
Really?
Like when I talk about clearing up, it gives
you
the
same.
So you
can just roll up some rosemary in a joint?
Rosemary, some lavender, whatever. Like lavender I use at night.
Okay.
Calm me.
And you just light it and smoke it.
And just go.
Doesn't it feel like smoking like potpourri?
No, it actually feels like you can taste it. You can taste lavender.
Oh my gosh, I need to try this.
And the thing is like you cook with rosemary, you cook with
lavender. I know.
You know, so all those things that you can cook, why should you not be like, I feel like that would probably, at the end of the day, cannabis is a herb, right?
Right.
So it's like, I think it's just like society really has us fucked up when it comes to like,
oh my God, the shaming around marijuana
actually going back to like our roots. I think there's this huge stigma, right, on how someone moves if they smoke or if they drink or if they do this.
Like me,
I
don't. Pothead.
Yeah. Like you're a pothead, you're this. And it's like,
I'm actually one of the most accomplished. I'm an educator. I have a graduate degree. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a successful company. I do everything. Yeah.
It's like, you know, for me, during being a teacher, I remember like having students talk to me about marijuana. And obviously I'm not gonna be like, I smoke weed.
Also like it's an age.
Yes.
Right. Like I'm so grateful. I know some kids start smoking young.
Which is not the time for it.
Your brain is still developing.
And that's the thing I always used to talk to my students. And they would tell me, and I'm like, the thing is that, you know, it's a lot of self-medication, to be honest, right? Like a lot of the kids I was talking to, and Kendrick Lamar was talking about like, what is it? Niggas always self like medicating with weed. Da, da, da. Yeah. And it's the truth, you know, like whenever I had students that were having issues, and if it was something like a lot of students started smoking, but like I would be like, what's going on at home?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Like, why are you, like, let me ask the questions.
Right.
Why are you actually smoking?
Right. Not just like you're
in
trouble.
And they will tell you why, because it makes me feel chill. It makes me feel calm. Oh, do you not feel calm a lot? It just makes me forget a lot of these negative things that are happening out. And I'm like, well, if I was going through what you were going through and I found that this little herb had me feeling like, it's not happening. I'm sure you would too.
Yeah.
But I can tell you right now that this is what it's going to do to your brain as a 16-year-old kid. And this is what it's going to do because obviously you're unable to handle homework and do this while you're smoking the weed. So maybe you should find another balance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe you should having those types of conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think like society, like we really have to actually have positive conversations about marijuana and also like not even just positive, but honest conversations. Cause like, if you are smoking every day and not knowing how to handle your life, you need to figure, like if I was just out here smoking, not making money or making impact
before they go to work in the morning.
I mean, and like, also it's like, if you're smoking, you're constantly having panic attacks, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. It's not for everyone.
Right.
You know, it's just like, certain things are not for everyone, and that's okay.
Yes. And so did you once drink and now you don't?
Yeah, I used to, I once drank, and then not once, like one time, but like I definitely.
You used to drink.
I used to definitely drink. I was like, loved Hennessy and tequila.
Okay. When and, did like, you didn't. Decide to
and
stop?
And then I was like, I had like a, do I have a New Year's Eve here? I used to have a lot of New Year's. I like, my brother lives here.
New Year's Eve in New York City is the worst.
Girl.
It's messy.
Girl.
It's never fun.
Never.
It's like, literally never.
It's
fun.
Always like, it's like fun and then it's like,
yeah. It's like, how are we going to get home? Yeah.
So it's always, how are we going to get home? Honestly.
It really is.
And I feel like it was one of those, how are we going to get home moments?
Yeah.
When I was like, I've never liked how I felt after mm-hmm. drinking.
It didn't
and serve I think
you.
Like, even with like, if I didn't like how I felt after smoking weed, I would not smoke weed. Like, if I, you yeah. know, and yeah. like making that decision of being like, the only reason why I drink is because everyone else is drinking. And I feel like I kind of have to, like not have to, but it's like part of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really like drinking. I'm just not gonna drink anymore.
Right.
And I think for me, I'm definitely a person that if I have a decision in my head, I have to go with it or I like, it's gonna be problematic.
Mm.
Like I've really found like when I follow my intuition or when I don't follow my intuition, bad things happen. Like not bad, like it's just like, it's a hardship for no reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So yeah, I was just kind of like, I'm gonna stop drinking. I think it was like 3 years ago.
Okay. And do you feel different? Is your skin different? Or is it just like, it's just
I
not feel, part of your
I
life?
I definitely, I mean, I don't know if it's my, honestly, my skin, I've never really had problems with my skin. I know.
And I knew it. All right, let's get into it. No, because this is, thank you. Because this is why
people.
I have a podcast. Because people think that it's products and 99% of people with amazing skin, it's genetics.
It's genetics and
some nurturing and maintenance.
Yes, it's but definitely.
Like, you were born with beautiful skin and you've maintained it.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I will say that.
Yeah,
no, and I always felt like it would just sneak up on me still. I didn't go through the little like pimple breakouts like my brother did. Like,
yeah.
I just was like waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
But then also I think at the same time, I was like, I was never like into makeup. And I also think it's cause like I didn't try
put
to put makeup on or
face.
Put stuff on my face or like, you know, like, so I never really had problems.
Yeah.
I think the most recent where I'm like popping up with pimples like once when I have like, I know it's
so many people
never,
are listening to
I
this
like,
taking
so
out their headphones.
I know,
like, I hate this girl.
I hate you. And I try to tell people though, it's like even if I don't have a full breakout, I still will have insecurities about my skin.
Yeah, everyone
and
has their thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, for me, it used to be this thing, like, I just don't tell people if I'm like, have a pimple or not. Like, I remember my friends were like, that's nothing. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just going to keep it to myself.
I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
But I know when I stopped taking birth control, my hormones were like, okay, Mother Nature, we're here. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. And that is definitely when I started making some more intentional choices on how I eat. Because I've just always been like, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, because you have a fast metabolism. You're tall. You're skinny. You have a model physique, which is great.
I'm trying. But honestly, like a lot of these models are like very skinny. I think I'm a little bit curvy for.
Your curvy is a stretch.
Curvy is definitely a stretch.
Yeah.
But like when
you've got a great body.
Thank you. I won't deny that. I won't deny that. And also do you, like, honestly though, who was I talking with? Sophia and I after and Ajwa.
Sophia's so cool. I need to get her on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. And Valerie, we were just talking about like literally your skin is like
thank you.
Like it's amazing. Like we're like, wait, it just seems like it's already like there's always makeup. Like it's already done. Like
thank you.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm just like, I'm just trying to move and feel comfortable. Like, honestly, I just want to feel good in my skin. And and I honestly feel like God was like, okay, girl, I'm not going to give you as many pimples right now growing up because you are already taking all this heat for being dark skin and trying to find your natural. I was like, you can't throw all of them at me. Like, you know, like I'm trying to navigate my life in this way. Yeah. But
something you brought up in the talk yesterday, which I thought was so interesting, was this idea about like dark skinned black women becoming a trend.
Girl, yes. Oh, yes.
It bothers you?
Oh, yes. I mean, I remember someone like reached out to me, like sent me a thing that was like looking for dark skin models.
Oh, God.
And sent it to me. And this is like, you know, I was just like, I saw it and I was like, And like, and then the worst is when you're looking for dark skin models and then you're not trying to pay them.
What?
You know what I mean?
Well, that's just problematic in general.
Problematic. My thing is like, diversity is a trend in all companies right now. And
black because it's
women,
profitable.
It's profitable.
And
it's
we should also be very clear about why companies care about things.
Exactly.
It's always because of their bottom line.
Exactly.
There's no
it's
larger
money.
Purpose.
It is always money. It is always going to be some type of capital. Like, right. Even as a business owner, like at the end of the day, you're obviously going to be very intentional about your choices that you make. But if you're never going to be intentionally make a choice that will make you lose money without a full benefit,
right?
Black women are profitable. Black women have always been profitable for companies.
We spend a lot of money on cosmetics.
Was 7.5.
Yep.
7.5. Like what?
Yep.
It is that
and
number.
And we spend 80% more than our non-black counterparts on
which
beauty.
Is wild because none of these products are even meant for us. So
I
then we try to make, we buy these, all these products and then have to make our own things with those products, adding and all this stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, girl.
Yes,
And it's like, and the thing is, it's globally. And that is not just black women in America. And I think that's what like black Americans need to realize. Like these numbers are black people globally. Ghanaians are buying these beauty products from here, shipping them, having people come in, buy all these products to sell in their stores when all these products are made with resources from Ghana.
Yeah. It's
it
like, it's totally backwards. Yeah.
It's like, what?
I know. Well, that's why you're going to be so successful and we can all support.
Yeah. I mean,
black-owned beauty that has intention behind it because I think that's really important.
I mean, it's all and like when you really dive into the beauty world, you're like, ooh,
oh yeah,
it's a lot. And like, it's like you, it's just for me, I'm just like, ooh, you know, my intentions were never to be in the beauty industry.
Yeah, but I think it's amazing that you are because we need more people like you in the industry.
And that's what like, especially I think with Instagram, I'm like. I'm going to use Instagram or any social media to allow you. It's a curated version of my life, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm only allowing you to see what I allow you to see. So don't
like Beyonce.
Think
it, I love how Beyonce doesn't even use captions. She's like, here it is.
She really doesn't.
No location tag, just a picture.
She's the best.
This is all I'm going to give you. Take it.
Also, I saw that you were at
on the run and I
you were
like, risked my life. But it was so worth it. Like,
I almost drove back from Ohio to Chicago for a free ticket. I'm actually really surprised I didn't.
I mean, to be honest,
I'm really surprised. I was like, wow.
The tour's
like,
still going. You can still see her.
I want to see her so bad. I saw her last year. Yeah. Was it last 2016?
Beyonce? I feel like 2016. I feel like as a black woman, I am especially gifted to be alive in this era of Beyonce. I feel like for everyone, like, okay, my husband's Beehive now. Like, he gets it.
I mean, I feel like
but
you
as
cannot.
A black woman,
like, it's for us. Like, this
it's
is.
It's like, yes. Yeah. It's like, and the way that she inspires me to be my best self and to like recognize all parts of myself, like, freeze. Like,
honestly, from the beginning, like from Destiny's Child until now.
My 10th birthday, we went to see her. I've been obsessed with Beyonce for, 18 years of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I used to dance in our front lawn in the suburbs to Destiny's Child, singing and like doing like literally fake praise dances.
Do you remember the song Happy Face? Because it's a jam. It's a jam still. It's a jam still.
Like, so
oh my gosh, this is that's the episode music for this.
Like
because...
Beyonce is literally like I don't honestly, and that's the thing when people are like, ugh, Beehive or whatever, like you guys really.
Wait, do you know thing, people that don't like Beyonce?
That's my next thing was like, if you don't respect her.
Yeah, we don't need to be friends.
I don't really, like, yeah,
there's something
like,
going
what
on
is
with you.
It? Like, what is, I really want to know what is it?
Yeah. Game recognizes game. I mean, you can't take anything away from that woman.
Yeah. What are you going to say? Like, I don't know. I have nothing bad to say.
And I just feel like, and maybe it's bad because I feel like there is a tendency when you're ambitious to overwork yourself. But when I think about how much she works and her output and the level to which she does everything, she's basically like, unless it's done up here, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a level of how we should live our lives.
Yes, I
like,
know.
And I think it's some, that's the thing. It's like, I think people are so in this way of like, you don't like, you should always set your expectations for yourself high to reach a certain level because it's like, and that's okay if you don't too, right? I think it's being able to acknowledge what type of impact you want to make. Beyonce was like, I want to make this type of impact.
Yes.
And if there's like, if I wanted to be a small owned business and continue to just be a small owned business,
you could
that
do
is
that.
Fine. That is okay.
Right.
But if my impact is supposed to be global, you have to be working to a certain level and you can only have a certain amount of energy around you to get to that level.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And I think like sometimes people just don't want to simplify things to that point of like, I want to make this impact.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm doing it in a positive way because most of the time when we know that people are making impact, it's negative or putting someone down or whatever,
That's
what we're used to. But it's like, if I say I want to make a positive impact and I truly feel that I can do that in this space and I want to get all the resources and get the accessibility to do it, what's your problem?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, why are you mad at Beyonce?
Exactly.
Like, you know?
What are the three beauty products that you're obsessed with? It can be hair, it can be body, it can be anything.
So, honestly, the Shea Balm is my favorite thing. Like our Shea Balm, the lip balm.
I
just love lip balms.
Yeah.
So for me, when I made the lip balm, it was literally like, well, all the products that are made for Hana Hana, it was because I needed it for something. So
yes,
everything was made like literally for me. And then it's like works for everyone else. So I'm like,
I need to order this Shea Balm. I'll also link to it in the show notes so people can experience it for themselves.
Yes. So Shea Balm, Glossier Lip Gloss.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Is actually my fave.
Okay.
I want to hear. What do you have to say?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I feel like it's bad that I'm like such a Glossier hater. I'm not a hater. I actually love Emily Weiss. I'm obsessed with her. I don't like that they don't pay attention to the ingredients in their products.
Yes. Yes.
And I think she said something like, our customer doesn't really care about ingredients or something like that. And I was like, so then maybe I shouldn't be your customer.
But I got to do more research.
I love their market. I love their brand. Their brand positioning is crystal clear.
Honestly, from being able, using their products and working with them in different marketing, they truly do care about how they move.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is something that I like, and I feel like they need, like, more brands need to just follow.
Yes, yes. They're definitely, like, there's, everyone is paying attention. They're major brands are, like, shook by Glossier. Yeah.
Very painful. Like, everyone, like, from even just, like, a comment of, like, oh, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, they're on it.
You know? So I do hope that definitely they move into being able to create more natural things and stuff like that. But I mean, if that's not what they're planning on doing,
then then that's also like a lane for them.
Yeah.
What's the gloss that you like? What's it called?
It's their lip. It's just their lip gloss.
Oh, that like clear vinyl-y one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one. I literally put a Shea Balm and lip gloss on and it's like, boom.
Okay. I need to try it.
Let's see. Third, because I don't use a lot of products.
Can we talk about your hair? Because your hair is amazing.
Thank you.
What is your hair process? So, is it always like this? Is this like your signature?
So I think it's like, I like want to do braids more now.
Okay.
So basically, my hairdresser, I used to do crochet with my leave out, like my hair leaving out with it.
Isn't the whole point of crochet that you don't have to leave anything out? Because that's why I love crochet. Right? I'm like, let's just put all this away.
But for me, I'm always like, I want to make sure it looks as realistic as ever. Mm-hmm. So I used to do leave out with it. And then I cut my sides. And I was like, that was stupid. So then I just was like, okay, I need my sides to grow back. So I'll just continue wearing a crochet and doesn't have to cover my sides.
Which hair do you use? Is this Jamaican bounce?
No, this is, it's a, like, What's the one that everyone uses for braids? Like just like
Bohemian?
Not Bohemian.
Brazilian?
No. I'm so bad at names. Something? It's in a green box.
I'm stumped. Okay.
It's like the one that literally the thing is that so many people ask me about my hair.
Because you wear crochet. Because, okay, here's the thing. Your crochet, there are three things going on. One, it's like lived in, right? So there's a way when you first get crochet where like all the ringlets are perfect and it's just like,
mine never looks like that.
And your hair just looks like lived in. Two, this cut is everything. Like the bangs, the shape, like do you cut it?
I just always cut it.
Okay, so you have figured out the perfect proportions.
I figured it out. And then like I also always, because it always starts like right above my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then as the weeks go, I cut it up.
It's very cute.
So I always just let it kind of just sit and then... but my thing with crochet is that because I'm like very much, like I'm caring for my underneath hair.
Right. So do you do like a herbal spritz?
I create a oil, like I have a little oil combination that I spray my hair with I love actually using apple cider vinegar to rinse.
Oh yeah, that's the best.
And like actually take out that dirt.
Yeah, of course.
Making sure I'm conditioning my hair. Mm-hmm. Because for me, my ultimate goal goal is to just be able to have my natural hair out and just like do but like all types of things. Mm-hmm. But I think right now where I'm at is like,
you're busy.
Literally, I'm like, it's not even lazy. It's just like,
you're busy.
This works.
Yeah.
Like, why would I, you know what I mean? And also it's like with shooting with people, I'm just,
oh gosh. Yeah. They'll try to bring out a curler, like, a heater, and you're like, please don't touch my hair. Like,
don't touch my hair.
Yeah. I was interviewing the girls, you know, Saint Beauty.
Yes.
They were talking about how they were like, we just went on the shoot and they were using all this stuff and like, they didn't know what to do. And I was like, no, you guys have the most beautiful natural hair. Just protect it. Don't let anyone touch your hair.
I'm just like, I'm gonna do it. And it's like, for me too, like growing up, I had like my aunts do my hair. Like my aunts were braiders. Mm-hmm. Like, and then like, I didn't really have that experience of going in the shop like that. Like, I think a lot of Black girls like go through that experience. For me, it's like, we would go to the shop once, but it would be a shop in someone's house.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And you have a really like a connection. Mm-hmm. Like it's someone that you know, and you feel like, I was never questioning like, oh, is this braider not going to do my hair like how I wanted to?
Yeah.
And then like, as I moved to Chicago, lucky for me, I was like introduced to a braider who also was in, like going to school for natural hair, but then also like a nurse. Like she's like,
oh my God, that's
like,
amazing. Not,
and that was like, okay, we understand, like we're friends now.
Yes,
like, she knows like my life, you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
And it's also very like nurturing of my hair. And it was also very like, I have two people that I go to for my hair. One's name is Joy in Chicago, and then Caprice.
Are you willing to share information?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
course,
I will link
course.
To it.
Yes.
But some people, like, I'm low-key like a little bit like this. I'm like, I don't want them to get too booked up.
Well, the thing, I'll share Instagrams.
Okay, Instagrams. All right.
Joy doesn't have an Instagram because she's like now like finishing her second degree in nursing.
Okay, Joy should be yours. Keep Joy to yourself.
Joy is mine. Joy is mine, and everyone in Chicago that knows my number, I'll let you know there.
Okay.
But the one thing they always told me, because I remember I had not only did I cut my hair, but like I was getting stress alopecia. Like,
oh my gosh. First of all, okay, look at how little, look yes, at, this is no my, leave out. I had to beg the braider to leave. She was like, you want to leave this all out? I was like, these tiny little hairs,
yes,
can you just let them live? They don't need to be.
I was getting, like, I was wearing wraps because I had, twists for a really long time.
Okay.
And I would wear wraps up. Mm-hmm. And what my wrap was doing was rubbing. I was like stressed. Like,
I know.
I was like, I'm growing bald. Like, I'm going to go bald.
Yeah,
and that
really
was like one of the reasons of like cutting part of my sides. So I was like, well, I just might as well just cut my
start
sides.
Start over. Yeah. Do you do like castor oil now?
Oh, yeah. Like so many things of just like massaging, like peppermint oil.
Yes, yes.
And using just like, what do I use? I do jojoba.
Nice.
I'll do hemp.
Nice.
Just like switching it up of like three certain oils. So jojoba, hemp, castor, and I make a little mix and I'll massage it in and put different lavender. Like I'll have different ones for what I need.
Good.
And just being able to like care and not be like upset about your hair, but just be like, show it love. Just like you show your skin love. It's like, it's going to blossom. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So
anything nurtured will blossom.
Right. And so instead of being like, oh no, I don't like my hair.
Yeah.
Like being like, girl, it will grow. It's hair. It's going to grow back.
It's going to grow back. Exactly.
And if it doesn't grow back, I guess God didn't want it to. So
exactly. Exactly.
You know.
And are there any beauty trends that you really don't like, or things that you've done in the past that you're like, why did I do that? If I could have gone back in time, like, I wish people didn't do this.
I remember when I definitely tried to hop on the little, like, it was like a I wasn't even good. I'm really not good at makeup. So like, the contour thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna push anyone's game down, but I just see that process of the kick this and then you did that. It just seems like too much. It just seems like a lot. Not too much. It's just like, oh, that is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And anyone can do it. Nothing against anyone that does it. It just seems like so much. And I just don't know.
It needs to go. It's over.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
You really see how different people look. And it, like, I know there's like, you know, you see that little hotep, like if your girl looked like this in the morning, but then looked like this, like, boo, I'm like, she can do whatever she wants.
Can we talk about hotepness?
Ugh.
Okay. How would you define it?
What? Okay. When?
Because my listeners are international. They're from all backgrounds. And it's like, we know what it is, but how would you describe it?
When someone is like, Black Lives Matter, like, you know, represent the Black man, respect the black man. I respect the black woman. That is
usually
natural.
Queen comes in. Yeah.
The queen, the Nubian princess needs to be loved in a certain way. They don't fully say respect. Because you can't talk, like, that's the thing that gets me. They talk about respect the black woman.
Right.
Do this, but then they themselves don't respect the black
right.
woman.
Right, and all of that is fine. So then what's the bad part of it?
The bad part is they say they're respecting the black woman, and they say they're talking about Black Lives Matter and all, or like, you know, blackness. They look at blackness in a way of the perspective of only a black man. I remember someone said, I don't know who said this, but everyone got mad that the black man is the white man when it looks at people of color. Have you ever heard that?
The black man.
The black man has this, like, the black man can sometimes act as like the white man when you're looking at black, like in that sense.
Someone said that before
and everyone was so upset. Like, I think Twitter was
Black men have a lot of privilege amongst people of color.
Yes. And also black.
I should say straight cis black
men.
Yes.
And that's the thing is that most of the time, straight cis black men they don't look at gay black men as the same issue, like they seem that as an issue. The gay,
the feminization of the black man.
The black man is a conspiracy that
Hollywood is trying to.
And I'm like, so what you're telling me is that all the little gay black boys.
Yeah, are part of a global conspiracy.
They're
yeah.
like, I'm a be a part of this global conspiracy today. Right. I'm going to be gay today because I just want to really just ruin the opportunities of blackness.
Yeah.
Like, that is my, like, you know, it's like sometimes I just wish, like, not just black men, because in general, when people would speak their opinions, one state that their opinions mm-hmm. and not confuse their opinions as fact.
Right.
And I think that's the problem sometimes when you go at Twitter or a lot of the big voices that are problematic is that they're speaking their opinions as facts. Right.
And they think they're woke.
Yes.
And they're trying to like put you on. And you're like, no.
And you're trying to tell you about your experience.
You're confused.
And like, who are you talking to?
I know. But do you come across in real life?
In real life,
Twitter aside, do you come across guys like that in real life? What's the dating scene like in Chicago?
So I've been celibate for 1 year and 7 months, so I don't know.
Okay, celibate by choice, I'm assuming.
Celibate by choice. I was just talking to Yamina about this. She's like, everyone that's celibate knows the date and time and hours of their celibacy. She's like, you've been celibate for 1 year, 7 months, 5 days,
oh my
2
God,
hours.
That's
I was like,
so
whatever. You know, I don't know. I dated in Chicago. Like, I had a boyfriend in Chicago. I just feel for me, like, it's hard. Like, a lot of people know each other. People, like, I don't know. It's weird. I think sometimes people are like, well, aren't you dating? Like, don't you get a lot of play? Like, aren't you talking to a lot of people? And I'm like,
again, I'm busy.
Either like I'm busy or like people don't even really be approaching me like
really? That like, is surprising.
People approach me in the way of like, yo, chocolate. Oh, or God. Like, I don't know.
Because
you're
beautiful. But I think that you're so open and bubbly that you're not intimidating.
I don't think I'm intimidating.
You're not like, giving like a Naomi Campbell, like icy. Like,
no.
I feel like you seem like a beautiful and approachable girl. So I'm very surprised that you
I think maybe people like, or, you know, also like maybe people are approaching me, but I just don't see it as
that's
that.
Probably it.
And
that's
that
probably
might be it.
It.
But I
you're
really
like, oh,
don't
he's
think...
so nice. Yeah. And all your friends are like, girl, he's in love with you. And you're like, he's really? He's so nice.
Really?
That's probably what it is.
I think maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Or like, I honestly feel like I am not like, I get looks. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of like,
people staring at you.
Stares or like even, but I don't know. Like, I don't get like, yo, girl, let me take you out to dinner and cater for you.
Right.
You know, but then also I don't give a lot of people my time of day because I definitely, I mean, I'm 27 and 25-year-old me was like still very had a lot of standards and mm-hmm, who I would not, mm-hmm. but I would like give my time to people. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm like, if I look at you, not look at you, but like if I have a conversation, like I have experiences and stuff with you and I'm like, you are a friend.
Right.
Or I just see certain things that I want and maybe it's not, I don't want to take the time to, mm-hmm. like, it's just like, I'm not in a place where I'm trying to date just to date. Right.
Right.
Like if I'm dating someone or if I'm with someone, it's very intentional. I'm trying to build a partnership. Like, I'm trying to build something. So okay. It's like, I'm not going to try to build something on faulty foundation.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So like, you're at the point now where you're like, if I'm going to date someone, I should be able to marry them.
I think so. Like, I think, or like, not even just, like, I should, it should be more than just because I think you're cute and fine and like you fit my needs for right now.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that that's honestly the reason of like celibacy for me mm-hmm. is more so like, it's not about like, oh my gosh, my, I don't know, like Virgin Mary type of thing or whatever. Like
protecting that, my like, purity for my yeah, husband.
It's
not, yeah.
For me, it's like, one, our womb as women.
There's energy. Yeah.
There's so much energy. Right. And personally, and like when you're having sex, me personally as a woman cannot insert any energy into a man, mm-hmm. like physically.
Yes. Right.
And that, like, having sex with a man, that is a direct insert of energy.
Right, of course.
And when people talk about being dickmatized, like, girl, you probably are dick. Like, that's actually, like, that's energy. Like, you don't know
thing.
What people are holding in. Like, mm-hmm. you don't know what people are putting in. Like, really, that's a connection. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can make the decision that I don't want to be around someone because their energy is then I should be able to make that decision of, like, I'm not trying to mess with you because even if you're super fine or whatever, like, I just have my intuition's like, girl, like my, you know, my womb's like, nah.
Like, no.
Like, I feel like my mind, my heart and my mind and my body need to be all in sync when mm-hmm. I'm having sex. And I think before it was like body, maybe your play heart, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was in lust, you know?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And like being able to be like, okay, girl, be honest with yourself. And one, being honest with myself and be like, you were in a lust with a lot of the relationships you're in. It wasn't like true commit, like true
right.
anything.
Right.
And then being like, okay, that's not what you're trying to do. Like, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and just like going through that. And I mean, it's obviously, it can be hard in different ways and you can be tempted. Like there are a lot of, I mean, not a lot, but there's some fine, very fine people. And mm-hmm. I feel like in the spaces that we're in, you yeah. meet a lot of
they're
people.
Creative, they're smart, they dress well, they smell good.
Yeah. And then you're like, you're still trash.
You're still trash. I think that you have the gift of intuition. Actually, I think all women have this gift of intuition,
just
but
to follow it.
We're not always able to tap into it. And you seem to be so in tune with your like inner everything.
I think I've in the past couple of years, like of having different experiences, and just like living, like I just found like there, I can only live this life once. Right?
Yes.
Like no one else can live a Benab Wama, a Champon's life. Like it is only me.
Yes.
And so either I live it how I want to, and not only how I want to, but what is beneficial to all of me,
mm-hmm.
or I live it in other people's specs of what they think is beneficial to me. So like really taking the time to like, really align all my things with my purpose and like really like, you know, like being spiritually connected and like prayer and all those like things, like everything all around to like make myself the best person for me and for whatever the children I want to have or whatever. Like, you know, like I have goals for my personal life mm-hmm. and it's like, I want to be able to be the best I can be.
Yeah.
And I think at this moment, that is really helpful for me.
That's beautiful.
You know, so.
Final question.
Yes.
When do you feel most beautiful?
Ooh, when do I feel most beautiful? Honestly, I feel most beautiful when I get out the shower.
Okay.
And it's like like, I don't know if you ever just get out the shower and just like look at yourself naked ever.
Yeah.
I always tell people to do that. And once you start to do that, you really force to like look at yourself and you're like, damn, I'm popping. Like you really, like, I don't know. Like sometimes I'd be looking at it, I'm like, wow, like look at this, like the skin or the muscle or like even how your boob is, like just start to really look at your body.
Yeah.
And I think like I would, like Sophia talks about being able to do your skincare routine without being in the mirror.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like being able to look at yourself in the mirror and also put on and like just see, like you don't need to put on makeup. Just like literally looking at yourself and be like, oh.
Yes.
That's you. Like there was like this, this meme or something I think I recently saw when it's like, when you see yourself and you just be like, wow, like you really out here like glowing, like, wow, this is just only the beginning, you know? Yeah. And I feel like Black, like, honestly, like, as Black women, like, as Black young girls, we've been told so much that our natural beauty, like, not even just beauty, like, our natural form of beauty is not okay. Like, you need to change something. You need to straighten your hair. You need to put a texturizer. You need to put a contour, even though the contour that people are trying to reach is your natural contour.
Right, right.
You need to still, like, your butt, you need to do something to maximize your Blackness or maximize how beautiful you can be. So I, like, Black women, go look in the mirror, be naked. And it's scary. It is, because some people are like, I've never actually looked at myself naked.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know if my mom looks at herself naked. I hope she does. Like, I hope, like, all women and, like, Black women globally, you know, like, this is some, like, beauty, the toxic of beauty and also the trauma that is connected to natural beauty is a global thing for women of color everywhere. And I think it's just so important for us to realize, like, you're not alone in the process of unlearning and relearning. And it's like, for me, I feel like I had to do a lot of unlearning. And for whatever generations or people, like, generations that I affect after, my children, like, obviously, I think everyone has a sense of unlearning they'll have to do. But I really want to be able to push that. And my mom pushed a lot of confidence in me. You know, she's a very, very confident woman. Like, I honestly, like, to be, I don't think, I think she looks at herself every day and is like, I'm popping. Like, I really do. Like, I'm like, I went home and I was, my mom and her best friend, who is my brother's godmom, they're all kicking it, like, hanging out. And I was just, like, watching my mom for the weekend. Yeah. And I was just like, she's so popping. Like, she is just,
and that's
like
why
herself.
You're popping. Yeah.
Literally, like, it, you know what I mean? And just being able to embrace that. And I think sometimes, especially as African women, like, we don't talk about beauty in this way, or we do it until you're 27 or whatever. And it's like, we really have to feed, like, you are beautiful, those affirmations to our children, and not like, oh, princess, but like, your natural beauty is enough. Like, you are enough and you can only better yourself. So, yeah.
So beautiful. Abna, you are an incredible, incredible person.
Thank you.
Just, I feel grateful just to hear you speak and think through all of these things. And I know you will make a huge global impact and you will have a legacy. And I really appreciate you coming and
sharing.
Thank
you so much. Thank you for creating this space and allowing me to be unapologetic and authentic. Like, this is so beautiful that you have this. I mean, literally to have a podcast about saying it's naked beauty and like that. The wording too of like naked beauty is just so, like, it makes me so happy. So thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks guys for listening.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.